Yes, for this particular arrangement from the letter that appeared on the 6th of May, of course, this one was quite a surprise. However, as RJMEC, I'm a member of the RJMEC, and we have been repeatedly calling on IGAD to appoint the chairperson of RJMEC since the agreement was signed. But this arrangement to have a change in the interim chairperson of RJMEC, I think came as a surprise.
Right. So what in particular are your concerns here?
Well, we know that at the moment the agreement is at a very fragile state of implementation with a lot of disagreements and delays, and also the latest skirmishes among the parties to the agreement and non-signatories. So we feel that with all this, any transition in the leadership of critical institutions to the peace agreement, particularly RJMEC, should be in a manner that is smooth and does not create vacuum, and also contribute to increasing the fragility of the peace agreement. For example, at this stage, we would expect RJMEC to actually appoint a chairperson, and the chairperson could work with the deputy chairperson, who is the interim chairperson, for kind of a smooth transition, so that the chair would learn from the current interim chairperson for some time, such that there is smooth transition. So the fear here is that if this discussion, of course, this letter is addressed to IGAD, and so it is not coming to us, but we of course have concerns on what will happen that will affect the implementation of the agreement. So we feel that there is need to have a process that is smooth and doesn't contribute to increasing the fragility of the agreement.
Yes, just a reminder to what exactly we're talking about here is that the interim chairperson has been recalled back to Kenya, right?
Yes.
That's Njoroge. and then they send a new one. Is that right?
That is what they have presented to IGAD. It's a message to IGAD asking, informing IGAD of a recall and also a replacement. However, the agreement, if you look at the agreement, chapter 7 talks about RJMEC, and Article 7.3 talks about appointment of RJMEC. That is a prerogative of the IGAD Assembly of Heads of States and Government to take that decision. And of course, when the RJMEC chairperson left, by the time the agreement was signed, IGAD authorized the interim chairperson to act as interim chairperson. And I think these decisions lie with IGAD Assembly of Heads of State and Government. The fear we have is that if member states begin to interfere in the institutions of the peace agreement at will and at any time, and then, first of all, it puts the implementation itself at a difficult moment. We have no powers to stop changes in the leadership of RJMEC, but we just feel that the arrangement should be smooth so that it doesn't affect the implementation of the agreement.
Right. Now, speaking about the implementation of the agreement, of course, what are your thoughts so far on the implementation?
Of course, we are a little bit stuck, especially on the issue of allocation of states. And there is no clear communication, public information from the parties to us, the South Sudanese public. And this puts us in a difficult situation. It makes people so worried. In fact, if you have been following on the media, the way people keep calling from the states, disappointed on these delays, is too much. And for us whom they know, they also call so much asking, and we do not have clear information. So these delays is a problem. And of course, now the interim chairperson of RJMEC has forwarded this issue to the chairperson of IGAD. So you can see that, we are concerned that simple things, we are governing our country. Implementation of the agreement is governance of South Sudan. And so if we are not able to take simple decisions like this on matters of our own country, in other words, we are actually promoting what we do not so much want, as the political leaders, what they do not so much want, which is putting South Sudan under a foreign administration. The parties, so many of them do not like this. But where every decision
they want the other parties to work on.
Then it means, you know, that is one challenge. But also, of course, you know, people are so much concerned because of this leadership vacuum we have, and also this current ongoing skirmishes.
But that surprises me, though, because everything is put in the agreement, and all they have signed, it's all about implementing the agreement. Why isn't more also like renegotiating these agreements instead of implementing what is written in those agreements? Was the agreement written in a manner that actually there are some things that you have to go and finish by renegotiating, or they just don't have the political will to implement it?
Well, I think I've always held the position that, you know, we can do the best for South Sudan even without an agreement. We can just wake up one morning and say we want to do the right thing for our country. Without looking at the document of the agreement, we will do better than even what the agreement provides. So failing to take decisions as provided for by the agreement is an indication that there is little interest to really put the country first. What is happening is now like party interests taking over this broader national interest, which should have been first. So that is where we are stuck. Each party wants to maximize opportunities from this agreement to themselves and their supporters.
Right. And you spoke about us being stuck, and most of the excuses, of course, is about the surrounding COVID-19. What do you make of this?
Well, you know, we just started the transitional period on the 22nd of February. All along this period, this was supposed to have started on the 12th of May last year. So COVID-19 was not there. So COVID-19 is not an excuse for delays. However, instead, it should have motivated the parties to act faster and create administrative structures in the states that would provide for effective response to COVID-19. Now we have this pandemic. We do not have adequate national administrative structures, especially at the state levels, to help mobilize and coordinate responses to this pandemic. So, you know, we're actually, in a way, failing to address the pandemic. So it is not an excuse at all.
All right. Just your final remarks, Mr. Rajab, on the implementation process, the issue of the states, and the latest, of course, with COVID-19. What will you say?
I would personally say, from the engagement we have with South Sudanese citizens, the citizens are losing confidence and trust in these leaders. And it will be very difficult to earn this trust again. So the leaders should think of doing the right things. And they should also appear like equal leaders in the region. Mm-hmm. They should not be like subordinates of their peers in the region, where they can't take decisions and everything they submit to their peers in the region.